here's a story from The World.
In Australia, almost half the population is again under lockdown. Another lockdown after a year of Australia's strict zero-tolerance policy to beat back the coronavirus. Catherine Bennett is a professor and chair of epidemiology at Deakin University in Australia. She joins us from Melbourne. So, Catherine, for the past year, Australia has been largely successful at keeping COVID rates and COVID deaths down with the zero-tolerance approach, just slightly over 30,000 cases total, which is pretty remarkable. Briefly explain what that approach has been.
It started off with, you know, as a heavy suppression strategy. We didn't want to overwhelm our hospitals. We wanted to try and keep infections under control. And so the effort really then went into making sure we'd closed our borders fast and early. And in doing so, you know, we had to then keep strengthening the borders because you would find weaknesses. Somehow the infection would cross into the community. We'd have to work hard to contact trace, you know, isolate, close that down. And so progressively over time, we became better at it. We haven't got ideal quarantine facilities. We use hotels. There's been some issues around that. But we wound up putting such an investment into the borders that then became the priority, you know. And so it actually moved from a suppression strategy to hold things at bay to prevent serious illness and death until we had the vaccine, if we could get a vaccine. That's meant that there's a proportion of the population who believe that we can just keep the borders closed. We'll just stay like this. And clearly, these variants are not allowing that.
I mean, it's striking. Only about 5% of Australians have been vaccinated, which is really low, given that Australia is a wealthy country with a fairly small population. Why is that? Is it hesitancy, or do you not have enough vaccines?
It's a combination of all of the above. We did go later than the rest of the world. We did have the privilege of time where we could wait till all the safety data was in the first, you know, formal trial reports for the full 6 months. And that gave us a chance to then go through our regulatory processes in January this year. By the time we actually started the rollout, we had two main choices initially. Pfizer, where we did have a limited supply, but over time would build. And we had AstraZeneca, which included some offshore supply, but also we had the capacity to make that onshore. But then obviously the complications with those very rare side effects meant, well, if we've got the choice, then we try and focus our Pfizer for the younger adults where there's a lower risk. We actually rolled out through general practitioners in the community rather than mass vaccination centres. And we still had a problem with supply for quite some time. So we had a strategy which we started to roll out, but this sort of lack of sense of urgency and the complication in the rollout system, and then some confusion around possible risks and a lot of misinformation that's circulating out there, actually just, I think, contributed to slowing this down further.
I'm wondering if you think the zero tolerance policy was so successful that maybe that's also why people have been hesitant to get the vaccine. Like, why do I need a vaccine when there's very little COVID here?
That's right. And that's what we're hearing. And there are people that actually think closed international borders just means you can't go on an international holiday. But that's not what this is about. This is much larger than that in terms of the impact of family separated, people moving for work and study, and our whole, you know, international enterprise. And the more the rest of the world opens up, the more obvious it will be that we're kind of isolated and we haven't got ourselves into a position of preparedness, including our vaccination coverage, to enable us to say, you know, we'll join in. So it's a difficult time. I think it's made the sort of notion that we need to live with a virus down the track difficult for some people and something they'd prefer to avoid, and possibly in some ways worse than it needs to be. I think people know the seriousness of COVID in other countries, and that's motivated them to be vaccinated. But here, a lot of the lockdowns reinforce this kind of, you know, fear of this virus and what it might do, and the language that's often used to explain and to reinforce serious and heavy restrictions put in place is quite alarming. It's talking about wildly infectious viruses and the risk of, you know, cases exploding and the deaths that will follow. And so people hear that, and the idea then that you might live with that virus can be quite intimidating and scary.
So what is an alternative approach to the zero tolerance policy?
We need to have the plan to say how we're going to transition out of this, and we need to have the public involved in that. At the moment, people will make a comment like, you know, we have to open up. There will be some people who die. Then there's 3 weeks of shock horror that, you know, because no death is acceptable. But of course, you know, usually when we have these conversations about health and investment in prevention, it's we're losing this many people. How much can we afford to spend to try and save more lives?
What strategy would Australia transition to, though? I mean, the Delta variant, as we've seen in many places, it's just ratcheted up pressure on health systems.
It has, but it's about having the vaccination coverage that helps prevent against a serious disease. It means you actually have to have a strategy that says, well, maybe we don't try and keep all coronavirus at the border, but maybe we start to really monitor for variants of concern so that we're then in a position to try and test, trace and isolate those rather than any version that comes across the border. The trouble is we're seeing everything take over so quickly. You get a more transmissible strain and it quickly dominates the entire globe. But at the same time, the other way of looking at the overwhelming is to say, if every time we get one case, we have to go into lockdown, it has so many other health impacts that, you know, you've got to weigh that up differently. And so if, in fact, you know, you've got a very transmissible virus, but we can contain the impact it has on morbidity and mortality through vaccination, then we still need to hold it off for as long as we can to get the vaccination rates up.
Right. At this point, Catherine, is the COVID vaccine widely available to Australians and are they lining up for it?
So it's hard to gauge from some of the public commentary. It's a matter of rolling it out in terms of the availability, but also it is about the Pfizer supply. And we're getting supply in, and the supply is gradually getting bigger, but we won't get a decent supply where our supply beats demand until September, probably October, November.
That's a lot of time. I mean, how concerned are you that Australia is going to be overwhelmed by the Delta variant?
Well, that is a great concern, and I think that's why everyone's watching these current clusters so carefully. And this is the first time we've seen it, this sort of complexity of different outbreaks overlapping at the same time. Where we looked 3 months ago was very different to where we are now. And I think it's made people realize it's a race.
Catherine Bennett is the chair of epidemiology at Deakin University in Australia. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.